Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Christian's Tailgate on White Oak. Here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. It's the producers here of ESPN Radio. The bullpen, Sean Mapes, RJ Saunders, and Brian McDonald here out at Christian's Tailgate in the Heights on White Oak, enjoying some neutral vodka seltzer. And Sean, Christian's Tailgate has some drink specials going on. $5 shots, $2 mimosas. They've got a special on neutral vodka seltzer. 100-calorie drink. You enjoy your pineapple neutral vodka seltzer so far?
I am enjoying it. It's guilt-free, and it tastes delicious. No added sugar. It's gluten-free, and it's real vodka, real juice. That's how you get that delicious taste, and it stays 100 calories. So it really is great. I'm trying to pace myself with these. I'm really trying to make the pineapple one last, but
it was a perfect accompaniment to watch the Flyball Dog Championship.
Yes.
What's better than having the Flyball Dog Championship on the TV and sipping on a neutral vodka seltzer?
Exactly. Can life get better than this? I don't think it can.
I think we finally reached heaven. So we're going to get some March Madness here. It won't be the only time. And speaking of that, coming up at 2 o'clock, BK, Brad Kellner from the Wheelhouse, is going to join us. He's going to talk some March Madness. He was actually at the Gonzaga-UCLA game in Vegas. He is a Texas Longhorn alum, as you are, Sean. So certainly he's going to have some thoughts on the Longhorn-Miami game. And if Rodney Terry's got this job locked up at this point, I'm going to ask him that question because he still has the interim tag. But it's going to be hard to take away the job from him at this point. But we'll get into that later. Right now, we're going to try to name our all-time NCAA March Madness starting rosters. We're going to name a starting roster, a five-man starting roster, guards, forwards, and one post player. We'll go position by position, and the one caveat of this is this has to be someone that we've actually watched. Like, I wanted to name Hakeem, and even though I am old, I'm not old enough to have watched Hakeem Olajuwon play college basketball. Yeah, I watched him growing up in the NBA for the Rockets in the early 90s, but I'm not old enough to have watched him play for the Houston Cougars, so with that caveat in mind, I'll go ahead and start off first. All my players that I put on this list were guys who won a title and were the most outstanding player of the tournament. My guards, Kimball Walker from UConn, won the award in 2011. That was an ugly Final Four. It was actually here in Houston with UConn beating Butler in the final. It was an ugly shooting game.
I think it was 53-41.
It was a bad shooting game. I think it was just because, you know, not to call out Energy Stadium, because a lot of the NFL stadiums are like this, but sometimes it's just hard to shoot in those NFL stadiums. But Kimball Walker was just someone that took over every tournament game he was in. And my other guard won a national title with Kansas, hit one of the biggest shots in program history, that being Mario Chalmers.
Yeah, both great picks, both guys, or I guess Kimba more so, not just the
– great NBA player, too.
Or just not the run that he made, but the run that he made in the Big East tournament, just – absolutely carrying that team. I mean, I mean, guys, I don't want to put you on the spot. Name another guy on 2011 UConn.
Yeah, I can't.
I only know one.
I can't.
And it's Shabazz Napier, his freshman year.
Oh, yeah, because he was on the 2014
and
team.
Yeah, I only know that because he was on the 2014
right.
team.
Kimball
Walker, an all-time great run.
He almost had kind of like a LeBron 2007 carrying that awful Cavaliers roster to the NBA Finals. RJ, who are your two guards?
So my two guards, and also to answer Sean's question about UConn guys, how about Rudy Gay?
He wasn't on 2011.
He wasn't on that team, but, you know, Rudy.
No,
Rudy,
I meant guys on that team. He took a team
of
nobodies. Shabazz Napier.
My two guards, I mean, you know, first I got to look at it. You know, Chris Paul is definitely going to be one of my guards. I mean, he was a great two-way player at Wake Forest. He led the ACC in steals. So definitely a great guard. I need somebody who's going to be able just to set the offense, run the table for my team. And then one of the more hated guys in college basketball at the time, J.J. Redick. I'm going to need a shooter.
Yeah.
I'm going to need that guy. You know, people he may have been hated, but, you know, listen, if he was open – you know, he was going to knock it down for you in college. So, J.J. Redick and Chris Paul, those are my two guards.
And Chris Paul, a little bit of a choker, though. They lost in this, what, the second round as a two seed?
Yeah, and do you disavow Chris Paul punching Julius Hodges in the crotch?
Yeah, listen, man.
NC State?
Listen, I think so.
If we get the right coach around him, you know, he'll be able hold
Teacher
in his frustration.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, Sean, who are your guards?
Well, I somehow built a team with no guys that hit other players in the crotch. Give me Russ Smith from Louisville in 2013. Rusticulous was his nickname.
He gets
points for his nickname being Rusticulous.
Better nickname than Linsanity.
Better, yes. 18 points a game. He led the nation in steals the year that Louisville won the national title before it got the banner got taken down from the NCAA.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
Shout out to Rick Pitino.
Yeah.
I had to throw in a Pitino guy in here. Pitino would be my coach if we were doing coaches. Give me Russ Smith and then Jimmer Fredette.
Oh,
Jimmer Fredette.
I hated Jimmer Fredette.
Shooting from Jimmer range, which is now Damian Lillard range, but he was doing that in BYU. Absolutely nuts. Watching some of the highlights, like he was – the Julian Strother shot from the other night was a deep shot.
It was from the logo,
although the logo is super wide.
Let's not act like it.
But that was like with 15 seconds left, they took that shot. Jimmer Fredette
like
was taking shots. I was watching his highlights. He was taking shots with 5 minutes left in the second half down two from Jimmer range, from back there, just like pull-up shots. It was absolutely nuts to watch.
Yeah, he was ridiculous. So moving on to
Rusticulous. That's the other guy.
Moving on to our forwards, I've got two guys. One was a one and done, so it was a little tough to put a one and done on here. But, I mean, Carmelo Anthony carried Syracuse. I know they had a couple other nice players.
Yeah, Hakeem Warwick,
a big man there. And who was the point guard?
Jerry McNamara,
that's right. So they had a couple other nice players on there, although once Carmelo left, they got upset, was it by Vermont, as like a 4-13, so – wasn't quite the same when Carmelo left. I mean, when's the other Syracuse title besides what Carmelo led them to? So,
only that one.
Carmelo, I think, has got to be on this team, had one of the biggest one-year impacts that we've seen. And the other one, on the last back-to-back champion we've had, the Florida Gators 2007-2008, Corey Brewer. I mean, he's probably not the biggest name on that roster. Yeah, Yakeem Noah was probably the biggest, or in Al Horford, I think, were probably the two most talked about guys. But Corey Brewer was fantastic for that team. I thought underrated, and it gives this roster a lot of defense on the wings.
Great pick. A lot of athleticism.
Who are your forwards, Sean?
Give me this. I'm going a lot of scoring here. Give me Adam Morrison. His junior year, he averaged 28.1 points per game, shot 42% from three. One of the best scorers. Not just in college basketball at the time, but college basketball history. Someone who I modeled my game after as a young 10-year-old basketball player.
You tried to grow the mustache?
I was so young, I still could not grow the paltry mustache that Morrison had at the time. I'm working on one right now. So Adam Morrison, my first pick, from the forward line. And my other forward, Michael Beasley. Absolute monster.
He was, yeah.
Absolute monster at K-State. He's the only one-and-done guy I tried. Because, like you, I tried to go guys that were college basketball players first. When you think about them, you think of them as college basketball, not what they did in the NBA. Michael Beasley, third in the nation in points with 26.2, and led the country in rebounds at 12.4 as a freshman at K-State. Absolute monster.
He was a beast.
He averaged.
He was the number two overall pick when he came out?
Yeah, behind Derrick Rose.
Yeah.
He averaged 1.3 steals per game and 1.2 assists per game. That has to be a record to average more steals than assists per game.
That's pretty special. RJ, who you got at the forward position?
So my two forwards, one of them being, he was a well-rounded offensive player at Creighton. That's going to be Doug McDermott.
Buckets.
Wow. Yeah, in his Wooden Award winning season, he averaged 21.7 and 7.5 rebounds, but shot almost 46% from behind the arc. I'm going to need that.
That's special.
Him and J.J. Redick, those are going to be my two snipers. And then, Sean, I was surprised that you did not choose this guy, him being a Longhorn, Kevin Durant is going to be my, you know,
he lost me when he lost to O.J. Mayo.
Yeah, I mean, we could interchange between three and four with he and Doug McDermott. But, I mean, in his one collegiate year, I mean, what, he won the Wooden Award. Yep. He led every statistical category in the Big 12. He was the AP Player of the Year. I mean, this guy averaged almost 26, you know, an eight per game and almost had three threes a game, too. So, you know, if Sean, you know, is going to take Michael Beasley, then I'm, you know, I'm going to match scoring for scoring here, and I'm going to take Kevin Durant.
It's amazing that team only got to the second round. I mean, especially when you consider the very next year they went to the Elite Eight.
Kevin Durant.
Without Kevin Durant. So.
Kevin Durant, first freshman to win the Naismith National Player of the Year. Also, I'll always remember the Oklahoma State game that he had. I think it went to triple overtime. 37 points, 23 rebounds from Kevin Durant.
He was
another game I watched the highlights of recently. By the way, the shorts of that era, they must have got longer as time went by. Someone went in and added three extra inches to the shorts everyone was wearing. I did not remember shorts being that long in
They did get really baggy basketball. For a little. They've come back a little bit. So let's quickly get into our centers here or our post players. It doesn't actually have to be a center. But I'm going to go with one more one and done. I had Carmelo earlier, and someone else that had, you know, carried a team to a championship. Another team that did have some other NBA players besides this guy. But, I mean, Kentucky with Calipari hasn't won a title before him, hasn't won a title since, and that is Anthony Davis. I mean, when you went into that year picking your bracket, anyone who didn't pick Kentucky was just lighting their bracket on fire. I mean, it felt like the most locked national championship of all time.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he broke the NCAA record for blocks in a season.
I would believe that.
As a freshman. He did it as a freshman. So, yeah, absolutely insane basketball player. Again, I was trying to go with guys that were college-oriented.
Yeah,
although he is a great pick. I thought about him.
I kind of also thought about
him.
He had
too good of an NBA career for me, though.
Yeah, and I know these aren't on your list, so I'll go name them quickly. I also thought of Sean May from UNC when they won the national title, and Emeka Okafor was – he also had Ben Gordon on that team. That was a great UConn team, though, back in, I think, 2004. Sean, who was your big?
My big was Glenn Big Baby Davis from LSU. 17 points per game, 10 rebounds.
Fun.
Yeah, it's so fun. He, on my list of, so it's Glenn Davis, Michael Beasley, Adam Morrison, Jimmer Fredette, Russ Smith. Arguably, Glenn Davis had the best NBA career of anyone I picked, which is really saying something.
and he had that great video on the airplane eating chicken.
Great video on the airplane. I was going to mention his great Elite Eight game 2006 against Texas.
Yeah, I know.
26 points, 9 rebounds. Tyrus Thomas.
Tyrus Thomas,
another honorable mention. If we have time, I'll go through all my honorable mentions.
Tyrus Thomas could have dunked on a 12-foot goal. That guy was unbelievably
absolute
athletic.
Athlete. I'm going Glenn Davis. RJ, who you got?
Well, if I chose the number two pick in the 2007 draft, I'll also choose the number one pick in the 2007 draft. Greg Oden, he led, you know, his conference in rebounds and blocks and was just an absolute monster, you know, for that Ohio State team that went to the national championship game. I have all my scores. I have a guy who is going to set up the offense and set the table for everybody. So I don't need my post guy to score. I just need for him to just block shots and rebound. So give me Greg Oden as my five.
Well, let's just hope Greg Oden can keep from taking pictures and sending those out unsolicited. But otherwise, a pretty good roster there. All right, we're a little past, we're a little over time here. Sorry, the neutral vodka seltzer is flowing. I maybe shouldn't have said that on air. But we're coming back with some more here on ESPN 97.5, 92.5. It's the Bullpen live at Christian's Tailgate in the Heights. And coming up next, we're going to get into Lamar Jackson. Where will Lamar Jackson go? That question seemingly will not end this offseason, but we'll discuss some options for Lamar and a dangerous one included for the Texans. That's next in the Bullpen again, live from Christian's Tailgate in the Heights, thanks to Neutral Vodka Seltzer on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bullpen, live from Christian's Tailgate on White Oak. Here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN Radio 97.5, 92.5. Taking pictures out here. Everyone wants our pictures, Sean. Big stars out here.
Shaking hands, kissing babies.
I didn't know our celebrity pictures. And our Q, what was it, the Q rating? I don't know. I didn't know it had risen that far.
Yeah, you know, everywhere I go, people want to take pictures.
Well, it's partly because you look like Lance McCullers,
yeah,
and they think
star.
You might.
I think that might be what it is.
That might be part of it. But having a good time out here at Christian's Tailgate. Looks like the March Madness action is just about to tip off between Creighton and San Diego State to see who will go to the Final Four to NRG Stadium out of that region. So we got that on the TV. We got lots of drink specials, $5 shots, $2 mimosas out here at Christian's Tailgate. And, of course, Neutral Vodka Seltzer is out here, 100-calorie drink, real vodka, real juice, gluten-free, no additional sugars. It's a great drink. I'm having the watermelon. Sean is having the pineapple.
I've officially finished the pineapple.
You have? I've got a couple sips left on the watermelon.
I'm ready to explore the rest of the flavors.
I will recommend the watermelon. It's pretty good here. So come out and join us. But if you can't come out here, you can always call us as well, 713-780-3776. That's 780-ESPN to join us on the HRMP listener line. If you have any thoughts on our March Madness all-time starting rosters, the Texans free agency moves, the biggest questions for the Astros. And now we're going to get into Lamar Jackson, the seemingly never-ending topic this NFL offseason. It feels like we're both getting new news every day and nothing that really means anything because Lamar's his own agent and we're not really getting news of who's offering him or who's not offering him contracts other than the teams that came out like the Atlanta Falcons and said we're not interested, which, I mean, bro, you got Desmond Ritter. That makes no sense. But so we did get a report from Mike Florio that a source told him, and this is really not breaking news, but I think it kind of sets the table here for where Lamar Jackson is at, that Lamar Jackson is, quote, ready to move on from the Ravens. And another source told him that Lamar does not want a fully guaranteed contract. So maybe he's seeing what the market is offering and willing to back off his price a little bit. But that relationship with the Ravens seems permanently damaged. I'll go to you first, Sean. Do you think there's any chance in the world that Lamar returns to the Ravens, or is he officially out the door?
I think the Ravens still are the most likely option just because they still have the chance to match any offer. So it's not just a question of can Lamar agree to a deal with another team. It's can he agree to a deal with another team that the Ravens are not willing to match. And so that, to me, makes it harder that I think that the Ravens just let him walk out the door, because if the Ravens let him walk out the door, like, what is their plan at quarterback this year?
Well, they have Pro Bowler Tyler Huntley.
You know what?
It is two touchdown passes.
I retract my statement. If the Falcons are good with Desmond Ritter, I mean, imagine Tyler Huntley.
He's Pro Bowler,
like,
Sean.
Yeah. We all know how much that means nowadays.
State facts. I mean, Vince Young, two-time Pro Bowl quarterback.
Just straight facts. I think that the Ravens, ultimately, I think what it is they're kind of saying, hey, Lamar, go get the offer that you want. We don't think it's out there. Go get it.
Yeah, and they're telling him to go prove it.
And so if he can't prove it, which is still an option, if he can't prove it and he signs another deal that is something that the Baltimore Ravens are willing to match, then he's back on the Ravens. If he can't get a deal, he's back on the Ravens. I think it's so much more. There's so many more scenarios where he's back on the Ravens.
RJ, I'm interested in what you think about this. I mean, Sean makes a good point. I mean, this could all be a moot point if the Ravens just match whatever deal Lamar does get offered. But if the relationship is this bad, aren't the Ravens going to get to a point where they just don't match because the relationship is so poor at this point that it'd be a bad fit and a bad locker room deal to have him back on the team?
In a NFL now where, I mean, it's always been, but if you look at the landscape of the NFL, you're going to need a franchise guy. You're going to need a guy who moves the needle. I don't know if Baltimore is at a place right now where Baltimore says, listen, we'll tank for a year and let's just say we get Caleb Williams, or maybe we can find somebody and we're able to develop them and they end up becoming, you know, a developed talent for us. You can't let a guy like this go. I know that it's been, you know, a couple of years and since he's won that MVP, but you still need talented players on your team, and I don't think Baltimore just lets them go for the sake of letting them go. I think they've proved their point, however, that, listen, nobody's going to give you the guaranteed money that the Browns gave Deshaun. So whoever gives you, you know, a certain contract that you like, more than likely we're going to match it unless it's just too big for our blood here and we'll fold. I just don't think the Ravens just turn a blind eye and say, listen, we're just going to give him up because, you know, he decided to throw a temper tantrum.
Yeah, that's certainly possible. If he does leave the Ravens, though, it's interesting to kind of figure out who might actually be interested, especially after all the, I think it was like three teams, Miami, Atlanta, and I don't remember the other team that came. Oh, it was Carolina, which proved they weren't interested when they traded up for the number one pick. So they certainly proved their point. I'm still not sold that Atlanta has no interest, especially with the weapons they have with Drake London and Kyle Pitts on the come up. But it's interesting to talk out some of the options where he could land. And the one that I'm most interested in, because I think it makes a lot of sense after what the Panthers did trading up to the number one pick, and it would be a problem for the Houston Texans because it's the Indianapolis Colts. You have to assume that the quarterback goes one, quarterback goes two. And so now the Colts, best-case scenario, and that's assuming someone doesn't trade up to the number three spot with the Cardinals, who I think have to be looking to get out after they saw what the Bears got to move down. At best case, you're picking the third-best quarterback, and you may even be picking the fourth-best quarterback if you don't trade up with the Cardinals yourself. So if that's the case, don't the Colts have to look at, okay, we got Jonathan Taylor, we don't know how much of his prime's left. We do have a couple nice receivers with Michael Pittman and Alec Pierce. I mean, why wouldn't the Colts make that call and give up two first-round picks to get Lamar Jackson? Sean?
Yeah, no, it's completely within the realm of possibility. They haven't actually made – I mean, we talk so much about how many different veteran quarterbacks have been in and out of the Indianapolis Colts the last 5 or 6 years. And the thing is, they never have made that big swing for a quarterback. Now, even bringing
Carson Wentz wasn't a big swing.
It wasn't a big swing. It definitely was a swing and a miss, but it wasn't a big swing and a miss.
Yeah, there you go.
I think that it makes sense for them on paper of why they would want to do this. And what they have going for them is the wild card factor that the Browns had with Jimmy Haslam giving that contract to Deshaun Watson.
Jim Irsay is definitely a wild card.
Hey, we have a Jimmy Haslam at home. It's Jim Irsay. Jim Irsay.
At least Jimmy Haslam never was like in someone's bathroom being all weird and having a coach leave because of it. You didn't hear that story?
No, I didn't. But
so apparently
Jimmy Haslam has his own issues.
Well, he certainly has his own issues. But when Josh McDaniels was the coach for like what 5 minutes for the Colts, apparently that he backed out in part because Jimmy Irsay came to his house and McDaniels' wife got weirded out by how long Jim Irsay spent in the bathroom. So.
Oh, wait, did he spend a lot of time in one trip, or did he make a lot of trips to the bathroom?
I don't know the full report, but it sounds like he was just in there for, like, one trip, like, a really weird amount of time.
That is weird. I thought he would be a multiple trip
enough
guy.
To where Josh McDaniels' wife was like, you're not working for this man, so...
Yeah, I think he has the wild card factor necessary to throw a bag at Lamar Jackson, possibly piss off the other owners. I don't think he cares.
RJ, how big of a problem are the Colts if they get Lamar Jackson?
Oh, I think they're the favorite to win in the division, and this is coming from a Jags fan. But I think they're absolutely the favorite to win the division. In a division that's so – could it be the Jags? Could it be the Colts if they get the quarterback right? And it's a fight between those two teams. You don't know what the Titans are going to be now because it looks like they're doing a fire sale. If you get Lamar Jackson with that team who has ready-made pieces – to not only make the playoffs but make a deep run, if you bring Lamar Jackson to this division, it is curtains for everyone.
All right, quickly before we get to break, there's six other spots that I thought Lamar Jackson makes a lot of sense for. Give me your favorite among this group. I'll go to you first, RJ. The Titans, Tampa, Atlanta, the Commanders, the Patriots, and I'm going to throw this one in it because it's my pick, the Steelers. Where do you think makes the most sense for Lamar Jackson?
For me, it was Tampa. Listen, Todd Bowles at the end of the season said, hey, look, we're not looking to rebuild. We know Tom Brady is leaving, but we're not going to be this rebuilding team. I thought when you heard Lamar Jackson was on the market, maybe Tampa would quietly throw in two first-round picks, get Lamar. Now all of a sudden you're back in the mix in terms of maybe a playoff to Super Bowl contending team. But they didn't do that. However, I don't think that I can put them out of this – scenario just yet, but give me Tampa out of those landing spots.
I'm going to go with Atlanta. Atlanta, him and the Arthur Smith offense, like you said, with Drake London, Kyle Pitts, the running attack that...
Tyler Allgeier was great from the last year's
the running And, I mean, we talked earlier about the 49ers guys being able to just make running backs out of thin air. I think Arthur Smith has a little bit of that, too. And now you're giving him an extra runner in the backfield with Lamar Jackson, one of the best in the NFL at, just as a runner, and now you put him at quarterback. I think Atlanta makes the most sense.
Yeah, that, both of those options make sense. I do think it'd be really interesting if the Steelers were to do it, both because...
Yeah, the game theory of it, too.
I don't think the rookie quarterback showed anything that you'd be willing to pass a Lamar Jackson for, and I do think it makes sense to maybe hurt your division rival, where you either take their quarterback or you force them into a contract that's going to be detrimental to their salary cap going forward. All right, coming up next on The Bullpen, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, live from Christian's Tailgate in the Heights. Who won and who lost during NFL free agency? Good news for the Texans. One of the losers is in their own division. We'll tell you who that is next. Again, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. It's The Bullpen with Brian McDonald, Sean Mapes, RJ Saunders, live from Christian's Tailgate in the Heights.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Christian's Tailgate on White Oak. Here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN Radio 97.5, 92.5, live from Christian's Tailgate in the Heights. Come out and join us. Lots of TVs here to watch the March Madness action. Maybe we convince them to put the flyball dog competition back on the air. No guarantees, but lots of TVs, drink specials, neutral vodkas out here. When are you gonna get your second one, Sean? You've had the pineapple.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't. I'll
get
on that.
We got the neutral vodka people right over here to our right. My man Sean needs another neutral vodka.
Yeah, I'll get on that later. When I want, you know, 100 more calories, some real vodka and some real juice, no gluten. No additional sugars added, and only 4.5 alcohol.
Whenever you want that specifically.
Whenever I want that specifically. And if you want some of that specifically, come down. Christian's Tailgate on White Oak.
They've got specials on it.
Got specials on the neutral vodka seltzer, and they have $5 shots and $2 mimosas. So, hey, come on down, watch some games, listen to us.
Yeah, it's a great time. You can listen to us. You can listen to Collective Soul playing in the background. I don't know if that's coming out over the radio, but it's a good time out here at Christian's Tailgate. I'm sorry, I took a sip of the neutral vodka seltzer. It's quite tasty. It's got me a little verklempt here. Let's kind of transition from will he, won't he talk on Lamar Jackson and that part of the NFL offseason to some of the winners and losers from free agency in the NFL. I think there was a lot of really smart moves out there, but obviously there was also a lot of head-scratching moves as well. We'll kind of go in order here. Sean, why don't you name down a few of your winners here, moves that you thought made sense either for the team, the player, or both.
I really like the Jacoby Myers signing by the Raiders. I think we talked about this a little last week, how I'm very big fan of Jacoby Myers. To get him in Las Vegas for 3 years, $33 million. Only 21 of it guaranteed. Yeah. And then you look around and the Patriots – they basically gave that same contract to Juju Smith-Schuster.
Like, to the T, yeah.
I rather have Jacoby Myers, honestly, at higher than that, and I rather have Juju at lower than that. So I think that signing, pairing him up with Devontae Adams, I think that's a great signing. And another winner I had down there is any former Packer or current Packer that Aaron Rodgers just seems to like, because you, sir, are going to be a New York Jet, and they're going to pay you. They're going to pay Alan Lazard. They're going to go after Mercedes Lewis. They met with Mercedes Lewis. I'm sure Randall Cobb will be in the mix.
That was on his wish list, apparently.
So, yeah, if you out there, listener, are a former Green Bay Packer that Aaron Rodgers likes, just give Joe Douglas a call. Maybe you're a New York Jet.
That sounded like the open for one of those class action lawsuit commercials you see here and there. Have you been at Camp Lejeune between the years of... Yeah,
Lambeau Field is the Camp Lejeune of NFL football.
I think that's what we found out. RJ, who are some of your winners from NFL free agency?
So a couple of my winners at least have to be Laremy Tunsil. I know there's going to be a lot of people that are going to say that, you know, hey, he didn't sign, you know, the perfect contract or anything like that, and why did you sign him to so much money? But listen, you're going to need a guy that's going to protect what you believe to be your franchise quarterback. And so I believe that this is not only for Laramie, but also for the Houston Texans. This is going to be an absolute win. And then DJ Moore for the Chicago Bears in a division now where, you know, Aaron Rodgers looks to be on the outs. The Detroit Lions look to be making that lead. But now you give Justin Fields a number one receiver like this and DJ Moore. Oh, my goodness. It's a huge win for DJ Moore and the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, it's a huge win for Justin Fields. I mean, they traded a second-round pick last year for Chase Claypool, who did absolutely nothing, and now they upgrade with a guy who only gets 1,100 yards receiving, like, every single year. A couple of my winners, I love the move, both for the Panthers and for the player they got, Miles Sanders to Carolina. I always thought he was a running back who could have done more if he had he not been in a timeshare in Philadelphia. And now he goes to a team who, thanks to running from Deontay Foreman, Hook'em Horns, and Chuba Hubbard, I mean, they had some great running attacks last year, especially against the Falcons and a few others, where they just, that offensive line just bullied whoever was across for them and opened up huge running lanes. So I think Miles Sanders going to not only a great offensive line, but to a team that wants to run the ball and has shown the ability to dominate in the run game. I think Miles Sanders could have a huge year. And then my next winner is not the person that signed, but my next winner is Joe Burrow, because after we've spent a couple seasons talking about the protection the Bengals did or didn't have for Joe Burrow, especially when he got hurt in his rookie year, they go out and get Orlando Brown Jr., formerly of the Chiefs. Yeah, I know. You thought it was his dad when I first said it. It was weird. But you go out and get big Orlando Brown Jr. to protect Joe Burrow's blind side, and you got a great offensive tackle combo there, and now you got somebody to actually protect and hold up and make sure Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins have time to get down the field. So I think the Bengals are a huge winner, and Joe Burrow specifically, for not having to worry about getting hit every other play when that offensive line struggled. Sean, who were some of your losers from NFL free agency this year?
Also a speculative winner for Joe Burrow, because I think he's due up to get his aid later this offseason.
He's going to be like the $50 million a year mark. He's going to be way up there.
As far as losers go, give me the Washington Commanders.
I mean, aren't they just always...
Perpetually, yeah.
Yeah, they're like career achievement losers.
Not only has Daniel Snyder not yet sold the team, which I guess if he sells them, then they are immediately bumped up to a winner. But for right now, it looks like their plan at quarterback is Jacoby Brissett and Sam Howell, which to me just is not inspiring plan to have 3 days into the I think Jacoby signed 3 or 4 days into the legal tampering period. That is just not a good plan to have.
No, and that's coming from two people or three people who have watched Davis Mills play quarterback, and we're telling you that's not an encouraging quarterback plan.
Yeah, and nothing against Jacoby. So I think he's like a fine quarterback.
He's a fine backup.
Yeah, but yeah, exactly. What are we doing? He was great to a steady hand to right the ship last year, but, I mean, come on. We're doing this with Sam, and so he can be the steady hand for Sam Howell, or maybe they trade up and get Will Levis or something like that. I'm just overall not impressed by the Washington Commanders.
Someone I was not impressed with, the Raiders decide to – look, I'm not saying Derek Carr is some future Hall of Fame quarterback, but I don't see a world where Derek Carr wasn't an upgrade to what they're going to get with Jimmy G. I don't see – if you're unhappy with the play that Derek Carr gave you, your answer to that can't be, well, let's just sign Jimmy G, who gives you at best – the same production, but is hurt way more often. So I didn't think that move made any sense at all. What's some of the moves you hated, RJ?
Well, looking at it now, I know I had him as a winner originally, but I got to move him over to the loser side, and that's Derek Carr and the New Orleans Saints. I think the move is fine, but I think you just made your team stable. I don't know if you really improved by getting Derek Carr with the New Orleans Saints, so I have to now move him over to that loser side. And then also, he hasn't found a home yet, Odell Beckham Jr. I think this was a guy who thought that maybe a team would sign him, maybe a team would get desperate, and, you know, whatever Odell thinks he's worth, we'll try to find somewhere to get close to that. So maybe Odell tried to overplay the market, and it just hasn't worked out for him so far. So Odell definitely in the loser's bracket for me.
Having lots of fun out here at Christian's Tailgate in the Heights. It's the bullpen here with the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sean Mapes, RJ Saunders, myself, Brian McDonald. Coming up next, Who are the greatest free agent signings in the history of Houston sports? We'll each give our favorites from the Texans, the Rockets, and Astros. Sorry, Dynamo. It's the Bullpen with Brian McDonald, Sean Mapes, and RJ Saunders live from Christian's Tailgate in the Heights. Come out and join us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
You're listening to The Bullpen, live from Christian's Tailgate on White Oak. Here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN Radio 97.5, 92.5. It's the producers from ESPN Radio. The Bullpen, Sean Mapes, RJ Saunders, myself, Brian McDonald. We're live today, and we'll be out here till 3 at Christian's Tailgate in the Heights on White Oak, enjoying some great neutral vodka seltzer. Sean, you've had the pineapple. You're now transitioning to the watermelon. Your thoughts? Are these one-seed neutral vodka seltzers? What's your goat here among these flavors? You going watermelon, you going pineapple?
I think I lean pineapple still. I'm a big watermelon fan, but the pineapple's very good. I think maybe you don't want to be a number one seed given how the NCAA tournament's
gone. That's true.
Maybe you want to be what league did FAU come out of? Oh, the American, right?
USA. Conference USA is the 9 seed, yeah.
You want to be the Conference USA champion, Florida Atlantic Owls. No, these are both really great. 100 calories, real vodka, real juice, no added sugars, gluten free. They really are fantastic. I will be buying these later, maybe next weekend or something, next time I go out.
And they're on special here at Christian's Tailgate in the Heights. So are $5 shots and $2 mimosas. So if you want to come out and have a good time, have some good food, some drink specials, watch. Right now we got Creighton and San Diego State playing, and obviously later we'll have UT and Miami play after that for the right to get to Houston in the Final Four. And speaking of that, a fellow Longhorn with you, Sean.
Yes.
Brad Kellner, BK, from the Wheelhouse, will join us next segment. He was actually at the UCLA Gonzaga game in Vegas and is a Longhorn fan, so certainly we'll get some thoughts from him on March Madness and what we've seen so far. But let's get into something I saw from CBS Sports, and that was a list of the greatest free agent signings for every NFL team in the NFL. And I thought it was interesting because, I mean, obviously the player they picked for the Texans was an all-time great, somebody that should be in the Ring of Honor one day, and that was Arian Foster. But, I mean, he was an undrafted free agent. I mean, technically, yes, he's a free agent, but not really kind of in the way I think of free agents. But I wanted to get your thought. And if Arian Foster is the greatest ever for you, that's fine. But what were your favorite free agent signings from the Rockets, the Astros, and the Texans? RJ, I'll hit you first.
Well, for me, my favorite guy, because I didn't want to act like I knew, you know, just the NFL and the MLB, like I followed it deeply at the time. So I stick with the Houston Rockets, and I really enjoyed the Jeremy Lin pickup. I mean,
oh,
you know,
man. Jeremy Lin
getting picked up by the Houston Rockets. I know it really didn't work out as many thought that it would be, but it was definitely one of my favorite signings for the Houston Rockets. And then, I don't know, I think the story is going to be very interesting as years go by, and probably once he retires, you know, from basketball overall. I wonder what the story is going to be for Dwight Howard's time in Houston. Was it great? Was it as bad as some people want to make it out to be? I enjoyed the signing. I don't think it was the Kobe-Shaq duo that everybody was anticipating it to be, and even James Harden and Dwight Howard thought it was going to be. But those were a couple of my favorite free agent signings for the city of Houston.
I think a lot of that's, and when you look back at it with the benefit of hindsight and time, I think a lot of that failure is going to be put on James Harden, especially when you think about that. Remember that big Game 6 comeback against the Clippers? I don't remember exactly what year it was.
2015.
There you go. So when they make that comeback, Dwight Howard is on the floor. Who wasn't on the floor? James Harden. He wasn't on the floor at all for that comeback. So I do think a lot of that blame might be put at the feet of James Harden. But, Sean, who are your favorite free agent signings in Houston sports?
Yeah, since you're going to shame me and say I can't say Arian Foster, you know, a top
you can
five
take
Texan
Arian
of all
Foster.
Time.
I just wanted to see who
I mean,
else
he was an undrafted free agent. We're talking about free agent site. No, you make a good point with that. Jonathan Joseph would be the answer for the Texans.
That's a good
locking
one,
locking down the cornerback position.
Someone else
there
that probably
should
be in the Ring of Honor.
Yes, yes. Very, very solid cornerback. I'm going to go my all-time favorite is going to be Roger Clemens in 04, signing him. Him and Andy Pettit actually signed, like, the same
Go Big Deer.
Week or
me and Andy Pettit, both Deer Park High School graduates. You know, we have a lot of things in common.
One of the many things. Both great lefties.
I mean, combined, crafty. I think we have 4 World Series titles.
There you go. There you go. You're sneaky good with your glove, too.
I am.
So is Andy. I think Roger Clemens, not just for, obviously, he's a fantastic pitcher, but also how he produced. And it really signaled that this was going to be the couple years that the Astros were going to really, really make a push for it, really go for it. And, you know, that 04 team, really good, lost to the Cardinals in the playoffs. 05 team obviously made the World Series. So give me Roger Clemens for his, I think, 3 years. And every year it was
four, five, six,
really fudging what we call 3 years.
Well, because I know one of those years he didn't come back to like June.
Yes, yeah. I think that was his last year. So, yeah, give me Roger Clemens for the Astros. As far as the Rockets, I'm going with a different point guard. I'm going with Patrick Beverly.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, really.
I love Pat Bev back in the day.
Really one of the key members of those early James Harden Rocket years, coming in, locking down that starting point guard position. Really, he really was kind of the blueprint for what you wanted next to James Harden, because he's a point guard, didn't need the ball in his hand, pretty good shooter, catch and shoot, can run the offense a little bit when Harden switches and or when Harden sits, and most importantly, he could play defense. Which
and
James
he was
Harden,
the tough guy.
Yes.
It's hard to say, like, a guy that's the size of Beverly is the enforcer, like a Charles Oakley. But he was an enforcer on that team.
Yeah, absolutely. He gave the Rockets an edge that you need in the playoffs. And, you know, now he's a great podcaster, too.
Oh, is he? I haven't heard his podcast. I'll have to check that out. My favorites, I'm going to start with the Astros. And I think we might have all had this on the list, but I got into the Google Doc first. But I'm going to take Charlie Effin Morton. Just one of the all-time best free agent signings. I mean, what he did in that 2017 postseason, piggybacking with Lance McCullers in both Game 7 of the ALCS and then Game 7 of the World Series, taking them home, being the last pitcher on the mound to get the final out. I think Charlie Morton, here we are at Christian's tailgate. If Charlie Morton walked in, he would not have to buy a drink. He would not have to buy his own neutral vodka seltzer, because we would buy that here for him in the
Although,
city.
He could afford it.
He could afford their specials on
with
for
the
it.
Drink special, $5
right.
shot, $2
He certainly
mimosa.
Could afford the $2 mimosa. Yes. I definitely can afford that. Rockets, I'm going to go with someone who maybe didn't produce as much on the stat sheet, but I was actually working for the Rockets as an intern for part of the time he was there. And it was Dikembe Mutombo. He was just so fun. I loved Dikembe.
He was great. I was about to say sick brag, but then you said as an intern. I was like, oh, never
okay,
mind.
Yeah, no. It's not as sick of a brag when you realize I was making minimum wage.
Dikembe was awesome.
Yeah, Dikembe was awesome. And I think he was a perfect compliment for Yao at the time. Because Yao, obviously, with some of the problems he had with his feet especially, he's not someone you want on the court, you know, 35, 40 minutes a game. So having a veteran like Dikembe to come in was, I think, great for him. My last one, and I say this as a Longhorns fan, and it's a punter no less, but Shane Leckler, the former Aggie, and this I know this is going to sound weird, like a punter is your favorite free agent.
It does sound weird,
but I just remember watching the Texans and always having to worry about the punter shanking it off into, you know, like a 20-yard punt and putting the team in a bad spot, and it just felt like it was such a sigh of relief to not have to worry about that position for, you know, the 3-4 years that he was here. Like, okay, Shane Leckler's there. We know he's reliable. We know he's going to punt it, you know, 40, 45 yards. He's going to put the team in a good spot, and the defense can go to work whenever they have to take over. So, obviously, he's not going to go in the Ring of Honor. He's not Arian Foster. He's not any of the other guys we've mentioned here so far on the show. But I loved when they were able to get Shane Leckler here on the team. Let's go ahead and go to break. That was our favorite all-time free agent signings for each of the teams here in Houston. But coming up next on the bullpen here at Christian's Tailgate in the Heights, we're going to have Brad Kellner, BK from the Wheelhouse, joining us to talk about the March Madness experience he had out in Las Vegas, watching UCLA and Gonzaga, his Texas Longhorns, in a game coming up today against Miami, and obviously what happened with the Cougars on Friday night in their Sweet 16 matchup. So don't get anywhere. We'll be right back on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 as the bullpen. Be right back.
Well, hello.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.